always designing for people.
Good morning. Welcome to Radioactivity. I'm Rob Loray. Well, in a moment, we're going to take a deep dive into Special Counsel Robert Mueller's public statement about the Russian investigation yesterday. We'll hear from a former supervisor of elections here in Florida who has some deep suspicion of what the Russians did in Florida in 2016. And we'll get President Trump's response to Mueller's statement. The president made some remarks a few minutes ago. We'll hear several of those remarks in just a moment. Well, President Trump is muddying the waters over Russia's involvement in the 2016 election. Trump tweeted early today that, quote, "I had nothing to do with Russian helping get me get elected. I had nothing to do with Russia helping me to get elected." But he later insisted that Russia didn't help him. Trump was reacting a day after Special Counsel Robert Mueller spoke about his investigation into Russian election meddling in contacts with the Trump presidential campaign. Mueller found that Russia meddled in the 2016 election, and while he said that charging Trump with a crime was not an option because of federal rules, he emphasized that he did not exonerate the president. Trump told reporters a few minutes ago as he departed the White House that Russia didn't help me at all. He said Russia would have preferred that Hillary Clinton be elected, not him. Trump claimed nobody's been tougher on Russia than me. We're going to hear Robert Mueller's statement from yesterday, at least most of it. And as we replay it, I want to get your take on it. Our phone number is 813-239-9663. You can also call your comments in to the studio. Our address is dj@wmnf.org. Here's the opening of Robert Mueller's statement yesterday as he was speaking to reporters at the Justice Department.
Good morning, everyone, and thank you for being here. 2 years ago, the acting attorney general asked me to serve as special counsel, and he created the special counsel's office. The appointment order directed the office to investigate Russian interference in the 2016 presidential election. This included investigating any links or coordination between the Russian government and individuals associated with the Trump campaign. Now, I have not spoken publicly during our investigation. I'm speaking out today because our investigation is complete. The Attorney General has made the report on our investigation largely public. We are formally closing the Special Counsel's office, and as well, I'm resigning from the Department of Justice to return to private life. I'll make a few remarks about the results of our work. But beyond these few remarks, it is important that the office's written work speak for itself. Let me begin where the appointment order begins, and that is interference in the 2016 presidential election. As alleged by the grand jury in an indictment, Russian intelligence officers, who were part of the Russian military, launched a concerted attack on our political system. The indictment alleges that they used sophisticated cyber techniques to hack into computers and networks used by the Clinton campaign. They stole private information and then released that information through fake online and identities and through the organization WikiLeaks. The releases were designed and timed to interfere with our election and to damage a presidential candidate. And at the same time, as the grand jury alleged in a separate indictment, a private Russian entity engaged in a social media operation where Russian citizens posed as Americans in order to influence an election. These indictments contain allegations, and we are not commenting on the guilt or the innocence of any specific defendant. Every defendant is presumed innocent unless and until proven guilty. The indictments allege, and the other activities in our report describe, efforts to interfere in our political system. They needed to be investigated and understood, and that is among the reasons why the Department of Justice established our office.
All right, that's Robert Mueller opening the statement yesterday that he made, that his investigation was designed to look into links and coordination between Russia and the Trump campaign. He said that his written work should speak for itself. He said Russia launched an attack on our system. It hacked, it stole info, and released it online, designed to damage a presidential candidate. Russians posed as Americans to influence the election, and the indictments allege efforts to interfere in the election. So some of what Mueller said yesterday, again, our phone number, 813-239-9663, email address dj@wmnf.org. So pretty clear that Mueller thinks there's a case to be made that Russia interfered in our election. And I talked about the indictments that his agency brought against Russians, many of whom have not even been brought to jail in this country because they're still in Russia. So let's listen to more of what Robert Mueller said yesterday about his wrapping up his work. And here is more of Robert Mueller's speech from yesterday. You're listening to WMNF in Tampa, 88.5 FM.
That is also a reason we investigated efforts to obstruct the investigation. The matters we investigated were of paramount importance. It was critical for us to obtain full and accurate information from every person we questioned. When a subject of an investigation obstructs that investigation or lies to investigators, it strikes at the core of their government's effort to find the truth and hold wrongdoers accountable. Let me say a word about the report. The report has two parts, addressing the two main issues we were asked to investigate. The first volume of the report details numerous efforts emanating from Russia to influence the election. This volume includes a discussion of the Trump campaign's response to this activity, as well as our conclusion that there was insufficient evidence to charge a broader conspiracy. And in the second volume, the report describes the results and analysis of our obstruction of justice investigation involving the president. The order appointing me special counsel authorized us to investigate actions that could obstruct the investigation. And we conducted that investigation, and we kept the Office of the Acting Attorney General apprised of the progress of our work. And as set forth in the report, after that investigation, if we had had confidence that the president clearly did not commit a crime, we would have said so. We did not, however, make a determination as to whether the president did commit a crime.
All right. Again, Robert Mueller saying that if we had found evidence of the president committing a crime, let's go back and just listen to what he said there. You're listening to Robert Mueller here on WMNF in Tampa. Let's just listen back to that last portion one more time.
An analysis of our obstruction of justice investigation involving the president. The order appointing me special counsel authorized us to investigate actions that could obstruct the investigation. And we conducted that investigation, and we kept the Office of the Acting Attorney General apprised of the progress of our work. And as set forth in the report, after that investigation, if we had had confidence that the president clearly did not commit a crime, we would have said so.
If we had confidence the president did not commit a crime, we would have said so.
We did not, however, make a determination as to whether the president did commit a crime.
All right. Again, we're listening to portions of Robert Mueller's speech. Actually, we're listening to the whole thing from the beginning, but we'll leave off the very end of it. Robert Mueller from yesterday. You're listening to WMNF in Tampa. So So it's not clear. He was convinced the president did not interfere. So let's listen to more of Robert Mueller's speech and then get your take on it. Our phone number is 813-239-9663. Our email address is dj@wmnf.org. Here's more of Robert Mueller from yesterday.
The introduction to the volume 2 of our report explains that decision. It explains that under long-standing department policy, a president cannot be charged with a federal crime while he is in office. That is unconstitutional. Even if the charge is kept under seal and hidden from public view, that too is prohibited. The special counsel's office is part of the Department of Justice, and by regulation, it was bound by that department policy. Charging the president with a crime was therefore not an option we could consider.
All right, so they couldn't consider that option. That was off the table. So that's why many people have asked, why didn't he charge President Trump with a crime? Well, there you go. That's why he did not charge President Trump with a crime. And again, our phone number, 813-239-9663. Email address is dj@wmnf.org. Here's more of Robert Mueller from yesterday, the special counsel, as he was stepping down from office.
The department's written opinion explaining the policy makes several important points that further informed our handling of the obstruction investigation. Those points are summarized in our report, and I will describe two of them for you. First, the opinion explicitly permits the investigation of a sitting president because it is important to preserve evidence while memories are fresh and documents available. Among other things, that evidence could be used if there were co-conspirators who could be charged now. And second, the opinion says that the Constitution requires a process other than the criminal justice system to formally accuse a sitting president of wrongdoing. And beyond department policy, we were guided by principles of fairness. It would be unfair to potentially accuse somebody of a crime when there can be no court resolution of the actual charge. So that was Justice Department policy. Those were the principles under which we operated. And from them, we concluded that we would not reach a determination one way or the other about whether the president committed a crime.
All right, so there's Robert Mueller telling us why he didn't bring forth any sort of indictment against the president. He said under the rules of the Justice Department, he couldn't do that. And again, our phone number, 813-239-9663, email address dj@wmnf.org. Let's take a little bit of the temperature of the listeners so far. We're going to hear from President Trump later on. Let's go to Chip, who's in Tampa. Chip, thanks a lot for calling in. What would you like to say about what we've heard so far?
Well, I don't know how far this country is going to go down this rabbit hole. First, let me establish, I cannot stand Trump, and there's no doubt in my mind that he dealt with Russian mobsters, probably laundered some money. But as far as the Russian collusion, you know, we've heard all these charges thrown out. They colluded with, Trump and Russia colluded. Russia hacked our election. Russia meddled in our election. Was it Russians acting on their own? Were they acting on behalf of the government? You know, none of that has really been specified. And anytime you want to prove a crime, you have to establish a motive. So my question is, what would Russia's, assuming it's the government behind this, what's their motive in, you know, toying with U.S. elections? Why would they do that?
Well, could they want to see a divided America? Could they want to see? Could they want to further the divisions that are in the country already?
Fox can take care of that themselves.
Well, Chip, I want you to hang on because I'm going to bring on a person in just a moment who's going to talk about that very thing. Your objection, he's going to answer your objections if you don't mind.
Can I make another point?
Yeah.
anyone who is buying into this Russian collusion hacking meddling story, they are effectively saying that Glenn Greenwald, Matt Taibbi, Chris Hedges, Noam Chomsky, all very credible award-winning journalists, they're all wrong about this, because they all say without question that this is a hoax, basically. And it doesn't make any sense to me that Russia would provoke the country with the biggest military in the world. Why would they do that? And that's just totally against what I don't know why they would do that. And,
all right. Well, Chip, thanks a lot. Thanks for your call. I appreciate it. All right. All right. So Chip made his point. You heard what he said very strongly. Our phone number, 813-239-9663. I'm going to talk with somebody in Florida in just a moment who knows the election system backwards and forwards. And he's going to tell us why he thinks we should be concerned about this. Let's go to our next caller. We're going to go to Andy in Dunedin. Andy, thanks for calling in. What would you like to say?
Hey, Rob, and to your former caller, let's not forget David K. Johnston and all the great reporting he's done on Trump.
Yeah, there's good investigative reporters on both sides of this, yeah.
Yeah, especially the people that knew Trump before he had a lame television show. Now, I'm really glad to hear Robert Mueller come out and talk. The report, I haven't had a chance to read it yet, but it sounds very damning from all points and perspectives. But one of the things that I would caution against as far as the impeachment process is we're going into an election year, and that just smacks to the other side, at least, of a big political ploy. Now, and number two is we get stuck with Mike Pence, and there's a better chance the conservative right would vote for Mike Pence than for Trump. And it just makes Trump a martyr, and there will always be questions surrounding it. Listen, vote this clown out, and he's going to be up to his eyeballs in trouble once he hits the streets again. He's got so many people coming after him with multiple lawsuits. I mean, whatever brand he had before, he's already destroyed it. So he's not going to be worth anything once he gets out. So,
All right.
Doing it in an election year is kind of sketchy.
Andy, thanks a lot. Thanks for your comments. Great to hear from you. Well, you're listening to WMNF in Tampa. All right, so we heard what Robert Mueller said. Now let's listen to a former supervisor of elections from here in Florida who has concerns that the Russians did hack into our election system in 2016. We're going to talk with Ian Sancho. Ian is a 30-year veteran of the Leon County Supervisor of Elections Office. He helped in the recount. He helped both sides in the recount in 2000. Widely respected Supervisor of Elections. He just retired 2 years ago, but he's still very active. He's still paying attention, and I spoke with him just minutes ago. Let's listen to what Ian Sancho told me about Russian hacking of the election. Ian Sancho, welcome to WMNF. Good to have you here.
My pleasure, Rob.
Did you watch the Mueller report yesterday or hear it, and what was your takeaway from it?
Well, there were two critical things that he said. First and the second all have to do with Russian intervention in our elections. He said there were multiple systematic efforts to interfere in our election, and that allegation deserves the attention of every American. And I'm concerned, Rob, that we don't have our focus in that direction. The Congress has failed to act on multiple pieces of legislation to provide additional security money. This should be a national security event, in my opinion. And I just don't see the level of concern among the general population that would really need to be there to buy the kind of efforts that we need to put energy and money into this area.
One of the mysteries about the 2016 election is that reportedly two Florida counties were hacked by Russians who reportedly used a spear phishing email to gain access to the email system of at least two county supervisors of elections offices. Do you know anything more about that? What can you tell us about what you know?
Well, the Washington Post has indicated through unknown sources that Washington County was one of the counties. We don't know what the other county was. The FBI has not been forthcoming with that information. Homeland Security has not been forthcoming with that information. And I understand that they are agencies which are dedicated to protecting security. But secrecy in the area of elections is not going to work. It's going to act as a slow poison within the credibility of our own election system. And I think we need to act. We need to act publicly, and we need to act firmly.
Well, what action should be taken?
Well, the Florida legislature missed an opportunity this past session to do the only thing that we can do. I will tell you that there's no evidence that we can actually block a tax from the IRS, which is the actual St. Petersburg service that penetrated the state of Florida in 2016. I would take my hat off to Mueller for identifying the right agents that were involved. We know, for example, that Anatoly Kolovev was the actual Russian agent trying to penetrate Florida. We know what they did. We don't know if citizens have the actual mitigations been done to ensure that the penetration cannot affect anything in the election process. We don't know that. The information has not been made public. And quite frankly, I'm not sure that we could, in fact, stop these kinds of foreign intervention, which is critical that Florida address the issue of its flawed audit. If you can't deter at the front end the attack, what we can do 100%, since we use paper ballots, is in fact audit those papers to ensure that the numbers that are being reported are correct. Florida didn't do that in 2016. It didn't do that in 2018. And we have one more election to actually pass legislation to put scientific, valid audits to confirm the validities of Floridans' votes. We have to do that. I'm sorry, the old ways are not going to work in this kind of cyber warfare environment.
So by an audit, you mean to have a recount using a different set of machines, or what do you mean by an audit?
Well, seven counties in the state of Florida do possess automatic recount machines that could actually recabulate every vote on every ballot and act as a check on the voting systems themselves. Florida legislature for the last 2 years has refused to pass legislation that would allow those seven counties to use that technology and verify that their votes are correct. I think that the legislature is not acting in a responsible capacity to keep blocking this legislation. And I will tell you that election officials are hesitant. Although I will take my hat off to Craig Latimer, Hillsborough County Supervisor of Elections did purchase the technology that would allow Tampa for the first time to confirm every vote cast in every election. That's the kind of protection that the state of Florida and the citizens need to ensure that their votes are counted correctly. The machine rescans that we do not confirm that the vote numbers are correct. They're because the assumption is that all of those numbers are correct. We don't check the paper ballots against the electronic totals to confirm that those numbers are accurate. And I'm sorry, the days of the old elections in which we didn't have to do that are gone.
We're talking with Ian Sancho, who's a former supervisor of elections in Leon County in Tallahassee, and this is WMNF in Tampa. Ian, though, what I've heard about these two counties that were hacked is that only the email system was hacked and that the vote totals would not have been affected at all by this Russian hacking of these two Florida counties. You're saying
well,
that,
go ahead. We don't know the evidence. We don't know the truth of that statement. That's the problem, Rob. The voter registration system that is hacked actually controls everything in the office outside of the voting system, i.e. where a citizen is going to be assigned to vote, where their address for mail ballot will go. And we don't know that this was the actual attack in 2016. This could have been an exploratory mission to actually find out what the systems were to actually prepare an attack.
So it was just a phishing operation to see where the vulnerability is, and then they would come back either in 2018 or next year in 2020 and do a bigger attack? That's what you're saying?
Yes. Now, in 2018, most people are not aware that the United States did unleash its cyber forces and actually attack the St. Petersburg serving facility that they determined was the genesis of the 2016 attack. We actually fried their servers in 2018, and that may have deterred a 2018 attack. The information that I've received on this is that we have very strong defenses. We used them for the very first time on November 2018's election. But again, all of this is done off the public arena, and we are not exactly sure what has happened. For example, it is clear that the FBI has not done a forensic investigation of the counties that were attacked. DOD has not done it. Homeland Security has not done it. And for people to say, don't worry, nothing has been disturbed, without a complete forensic examination is ludicrous and dangerous.
How confident are you that only two Florida counties were hacked by the Russians, and one of those counties was Washington County up there in the panhandle? How confident are you that's the absolute truth and the Russians didn't get any further and it was only Washington County and one other county?
Well, I can only point to the Washington Post article relative to Washington County. I can't verify any of the information independently, but I will tell you that I was on the September 30th Friday call at the FBI out of Jacksonville made to the state of Florida Supervisor of Elections, and they deliberately misled us and gave us false information. For whatever reason, they did not want election officials to know about the penetration that happened in 2016. So I will tell you that while intelligence sources may really push for the secrecy, again, we need to know with certainty what has happened and have the mitigations been done to, in fact, preserve and protect our systems. And we need to pass the audit legislation. We have 1 year to do that to confirm people's votes next year. That's our window of opportunity. I'm glad there's one legislative session left, and this needs to be a priority. Business as usual in the state of Florida elections and not continue the way it's been going.
So you're saying in 2016, when you got the briefing from the FBI, they denied that there was any Russian hacking at the time?
They denied that any county had been penetrated. They told us directly for questions that we were asking, and they denied that any counties had been penetrated.
And yet, last year, or in 2018, Senator Bill Nelson, when he was running for re-election, said the Russians have been hacking us, and a lot of people dismissed it, including his Republican opponents, but it turns out that Senator Nelson was right.
Yes, Senator Nelson was right, and quite frankly, I'm very, very disappointed in Senator Rubio, who was at that same briefing and could have, in fact, reinforced what Nelson said. He refused to do that and only began to speak after the election. And that, to me, smacks of an individual putting partisan politics over the nation's security.
Now, there was a briefing of all the congressional members from Florida. The congressional delegation was briefed by the FBI of the Russian hacking in 2016. The governor was briefed. They've kept mum. They know at least what the FBI knows about Russian hacking. I guess they're sworn to secrecy, but for the good of the people of the state of Florida, do you think they should come clean and tell us which other county was hacked?
I would like a full forensic examination of the counties that were attacked to understand exactly what we need to do to mitigate penetration. And hiding that information is not going to further that at all.
One last question. Former State Senator Paula Dockery writes a column for newspapers around the state. And in one of her most recent columns, she raised questions about what was going on in Broward County in 2018. And she has some suspicions. I think people should look up the article by Paula Dockery themselves. But I wonder if you read that article. And do you have suspicions about what the voting results were in Broward County in 2018?
Well, I do, because Supervisor Snyder could not reconcile her election day totals with the recount totals. There were several thousand votes different. What was the accurate vote count in Broward County in November 2018 has not been determined.
Wow. All right. Well, Ian Sancho, thanks a lot for coming on. We had a really bad phone line, and if you don't mind, could I call you next week and maybe talk a little bit more about some of the issues you raised?
Absolutely, sir.
All right. Ian Sancho, thanks for coming on WMNF.
Rob, thank you very much for the opportunity.
That's former Leon County Supervisor.
I think it was the same.
Former Leon County Supervisor of Elections, Ian Sancho, speaking to WMNF just a few minutes ago. And I think one of the big points, you heard him say that there needs to be a full forensic examination of the counties that were hacked by the Russians. The FBI admits that at least two Florida counties were hacked by the Russians in 2016. And he says that the Broward County Election Day totals of 2018 could not be reconciled with the recount totals. Very interesting. What do you think? Our phone number, 813-239-9663. And our email address is dj@wmnf.org. And if you want to comment about what we've heard so far, our phone number, 813-239-9663. Let me just read some of these emails that have come in. David writes, it's interesting but not surprising how Trump continues to lie about and deflect on the Mueller report, and he continues to be a professional victim. What's surprising is how Trump supporters continue to believe his BS. That's David's words out there. And then John writes this, it took Trump almost as long correcting his faux pas as it did for him to get Hillary's emails after he publicly requested Russia to get them for him, writes John. The president apparently making a faux pas this morning, suggesting that the Russians did help him in a tweet, suggesting that the Russians did help him win the election, then retaking that or taking that back. Mark in Brandon writes, what Mueller said is clear and unquestionable. The report is clear. It is the responsibility of the House to start proceedings. This is no joke, and Trump must be held responsible. I'm still waiting for your special show telling us that all of this will go away soon and America will be fine. Mark, thanks a lot for that. And again, our phone number, 813-239-9663. And we're going to go to the phones for just a moment. Let's go to Les in Brooksville. Les, what would you like to say about what you've heard so far?
Hey, Rob. Great show, as always. And again, it's just wonderful to have you back. As far as voting goes, I would think it would be standing operating procedure for the supervisors of elections to verify that the vote that they're submitting from their county is double-checked against the electronic machines, just to see that there's no discrepancy, that they, you know, that they do match up. You know, I think that's logical and that should be done. And along those lines, I think that the general public should be more concerned about the census that's coming up than these past elections, because this is not electronically controlled, and it has a very for 10 years it's going to dictate the representation that we have in Congress, among other things. So that's very critical. And the reason I called, I wanted to talk about what this gentleman just was commenting, and he sounds very, very knowledgeable about supervised elections, obviously. But Mueller, when he was speaking, he used the negative, and I'm assuming that he didn't say that he would have pointed out in his report that President Trump was guilty of crimes if he had found any. But he couldn't say that because I'm assuming it's because of the DOJ policy that they will not indict a sitting president. So he didn't even bring it up. But what he did say, it was the negative. He said if he couldn't find any evidence that Donald Trump committed crimes, that he would have said it.
Now, his quote is, if we had confidence that the president did not commit a crime, we would have said so.
He did not. But what if he did? He wouldn't have said it because of the DOJ's policy. And I think that's why he said it the way he said it. Because right after that, he started talking about the DOJ's policy of not indicting a U.S. president as maybe being the precedent for not saying, if I had found something, negative about Donald Trump, he would have said it. But what he said was the opposite.
Yeah, he did. All right. All right, Les. Thanks a lot. Thanks for your kind words, too. Well, let's listen to one more bit of sound. This is the president this morning, a little bit more than an hour ago, as he was leaving the White House, talking about Mueller's statement yesterday. And let's listen in on President Trump and what he said about what Mueller said yesterday.
I think it was the same as the report. There wasn't much change. It was, to me, the same as the report. And there's no obstruction. You see what we're saying? There's no obstruction. There's no collusion. There's no nothing. It's nothing but a witch hunt. This is a witch hunt by the media and the Democrats, their partners. And it keeps going. I thought it was finished when the report was released, but it goes on. And it, to me, it was the same, frankly, as the report. And he said, basically, it was the same as the report. I think he's totally conflicted because, as you know, he wanted to be the FBI director, and I said no. As you know, I had a business dispute with him after he left the FBI. We had a business dispute, not a nice one. He wasn't happy with what I did, and I don't blame him, but I had said no. As you know, I had a business dispute with him after he left the FBI. We had a business dispute. Not a nice one. He wasn't happy with what I did. And I don't blame him, but I had to do it because that was the right thing to do. But I had a business dispute. And he loves Comey. You look at the relationship that those two. So whether it's love or a deep like, but he was conflicted. Look, Robert Mueller should have never been chosen because he wanted the FBI job and he didn't get it. And the next day, he was picked as special counsel. So you tell somebody, I'm sorry, you can't have the job. And then after you say that, he's going to make a ruling on you. It doesn't work that way. Plus, we had a business dispute. Plus, his relationship with Comey was extraordinary. Now, one other thing I'll say. Why didn't he investigate Strzok and Page and McCabe and Comey and all the lies and Brennan and the lies? And Clapper and the lies to Congress and all of the things that happened to start this investigation. Why didn't Comey come clean? Why didn't Comey come clean and say the things that he knows are fact? Why didn't Mueller investigate Comey, his best friend or his very good friend? And there's so many other things. Here's a question. This is a study of Russia. Why didn't they invest the insurance policy? In other words, should Hillary Clinton lose, we've got an insurance policy. Guess what? What we're in right now is the insurance policy. I think he is a total conflicted person. I think Mueller is a true never-Trumper. He's somebody that dislikes Donald Trump. He's somebody that didn't get a job that he requested, that he wanted very badly, and then he was appointed. And despite that, and despite $40 million, 18 Trump haters, including people that work for Hillary Clinton and some of the worst human beings on earth, they got nothing. It's pretty amazing. No, Russia did not help me get elected. That's wrong. That's wrong. Now, because he said it differently the first time. So he said, essentially, you're innocent. I'm innocent of all charges. And you know, the thing that nobody brings up, there was no crime. They're saying he's obstructing something and there was no crime. And nobody brings it up. Also, someday you ought to read a thing called Article 2. Read Article 2, which gives the president powers that you wouldn't believe. But I don't even have to rely on Article 2. There was no crime, there was no obstruction, there was no collusion, there was no nothing. And this is from a group of people that hate me. If they only found anything, they would have had it. And he knows that better than anybody.
Innocent. He said he didn't.
There was no crime, there was no charge because he had no information.
Inmates are gonna impeach you.
I don't see how they can. Because they're possibly allowed, although I can't imagine the courts allowing it. I've never gotten into it. I never thought that would even be possible to be using that word. To me, it's a dirty word, the word impeach. It's a dirty, filthy, disgusting word. And it had nothing to do with me. So I don't think so, because there was no crime. You know, it's high crimes and, not with or. It's high crimes and misdemeanors. There was no high crime and there was no misdemeanor. So how do you impeach based on that? And it came out that there was nothing to do with Russia. The whole thing is a scam. It's a giant presidential harassment. And honestly, I hope it goes down as one of my greatest achievements, because I've exposed corruption. I've exposed corruption like nobody knew existed.
President Trump earlier today. Well, what do you think? Our phone number is 813-239-9663. And our email address is dj@wmnf.org. A couple interesting things there. I think perhaps the most interesting thing, the president suggesting he has wide powers under Article 2 of the Constitution. And that is where I think William Barr stands, too. I think Barr believes that, too, that the president has broad executive powers. You can look at Article 2 of the Constitution. It does say that the executive power rests with the president. But what does that mean? Does the president have very broad powers, or are there limits on his power? Our phone number, 813-239-9663. Email address, dj@wmnf.org. Let's take some more phone calls. We're going to go to John in Port Richey. John, you're on. What would you like to say?
Hey, thanks for the show. First of all, I got a question. Was that last clip you played, was that Fox News or was that the conservative pundits on WFLA?
That was our President Trump.
Oh, it sounded like the Fox News to me. Sorry, I got that confused. Maybe you can answer my question here. I can't remember this exactly, but when Hillary Clinton was investigated with her email, I can't remember who came out but said there wasn't enough. I think they said there wasn't enough evidence to prosecute. Was that correct?
Yeah, there was never any prosecution brought against her. Yes.
Right, but the reason stated, I think, was that there was enough evidence to prosecute.
Mm-hmm.
I think, yeah, so isn't that exactly what Barr just said? Or not Barr, but Mueller that just said there wasn't enough evidence there to really prosecute? Didn't I hear him say that in there somewhere?
He said that we found no evidence of collusion. I'm looking for my notes on this. But yeah, he said we looked into a Russian collusion and we couldn't find evidence. I think his words were of a widespread conspiracy.
I think it's like sufficient evidence.
Yeah.
So to me, it's like he couldn't find sufficient evidence. Doesn't mean that he couldn't find it or whatever. But it just sounded to me like it was similar reasoning why they didn't prosecute, maybe a little bit stronger on Hillary's part.
So you're saying that with the conservative attacks on Hillary, if they're still mad at Hillary, they should also still be mad at Trump. Is that what you're saying?
I'm saying that if they're not mad at Trump, they shouldn't be mad at Hillary.
Okay.
Either way you go.
Yeah, I think the quote.
Way.
All right, John. Thanks a lot.
Right,
I think the quote was insufficient effort to charge a broader. Insufficient evidence to charge a broader conspiracy. I think that's what Mueller said. Well, again, our phone number, 813-239-9663. So many emails about this. DeMarco writes this, former Republican Congressman Tom Coleman says Trump and Pence are illegitimate. Impeach them. I haven't seen that Coleman quote yet, but I'll look around for it. Thank you, DeMarco, for giving me the heads up on that. And somebody from the 352 area code writes, if 2016 was audited and 2018 wasn't, that tells me that President Trump really did win legitimately and that Amendment 4 did not pass legitimately. It was cheated to win. I don't think that's what Ian Sancho was saying. He was saying that neither 2016 nor 2018 were audited. And he wants an audit. And he thinks that the Russians are just poking around and figuring out where our vulnerabilities are. So, no, I don't think Sancho would agree with that. But 352, thank you for that. We're going to go to the phones. We're going to go to Marcherie in Tampa. Marcherie, is that you?
Yes, that's Marcherie.
Hi, Marcherie. Thank you for calling.
I was just going to say, I've heard on several NPR shows and on MNF some people calling in saying, this has been a waste of 2 years, and it should have never even started, and it's ridiculous. But to me, it's not a waste because of all the people that were indicted, the people that went to prison. And even though they couldn't really bring anything against the sitting president, when he gets out of office, if he is not reelected this next time around, I'm wondering if at that point they can bring charges against them and what's going to develop between now and then anyways. So I just wanted to say I don't think it's been a waste at all. And, you know, heads have been rolling, and I think they're going to continue to roll. So it's definitely been worth the investigation.
Yeah, and I think you're right. If the president were not in office, he could be a target. Thank you for that. Thank you.
Thank you.
All right, great to hear from you. 813-239-9663. We're talking about Robert Mueller's statement yesterday as he was stepping down from his job as the Justice Department, announcing the end of the special counsel's investigation and giving just a short statement, an 8-minute statement. We heard most of it just a few minutes ago. And then we heard from a supervisor of elections, a former supervisor of elections, who says that he has very real concerns that the Russians may have penetrated some Florida county voting elections offices electronically. And then we heard from President Trump just a few seconds ago. Our phone number, 813-239-9663. Let's go to Gino in Tampa. Hi, Gino. What would you like
Hello.
To say? Hi.
Yes, I'd like to answer Chip called in a few calls ago.
Mm-hmm.
One, for some reason, he thinks that Russia is scared of us, and they're not. I mean, they have a nuclear, too. He said, why would they want to, you know, provoke the most powerful country? If you have nukes and I have nukes, basically we equal. If you have 12 and I have 4, we're still equal. It's only going to take 1 or 2 anyway. So that's one thing. And he said something about how did the, what would be their motive. My understanding is that they wanted Trump over Hillary because Hillary wasn't a fan of theirs when him and Vladimir were actually had known each other prior to him running for president. So and to actually get some of those sanctions off and be more kind to them, and that would be their motive right there. This, from my understanding, from listening to a lot of news, this appears to be his answers that he would ask why. And I think that's the answers.
All right. Gino, okay. Thanks a lot. Yeah, I think there's a lot of reasons why some people outside of Russia would not like President Putin. One is that the oligarchs are really in charge of that country. So if you don't like billionaires, you might not like Russia. Two is that presidential candidates who oppose Putin have a really tough time getting access to the airwaves. Sometimes they're injured or beat up. Sometimes they're arrested. And the GLBTQ community in Russia has a really tough time because there are open attacks on them. So if you didn't like Putin because, let's say, you didn't believe that it was headed in a more democratic direction, well, there are a lot of good reasons to believe that. So I'm not, I don't know what Hillary Clinton thinks about Russia, but there are reasons to think that Russia is not headed in a democratic direction. Fredericks writes this, the answer to the guy who wanted to know why Putin and Russia would want Trump to win, one, the Magnitsky Act blocks Putin and his crew from accessing huge amounts of money. And Fredericks goes on to write, Hillary Clinton questioned the legitimacy of Putin's election. Fredericks got this from Snopes. So Fredericks, thank you for that. 813-239-9663. Kevin writes this, Florida should go with vote by mail-in ballot. It works in Oregon. Why not here? Writes Kevin. All right, Kevin, thanks for your comments. Let's go to Guy in Tampa. Guy, what would you like to say about all this?
Well, I'm listening and I'm seeing all this stuff going on. I can't help but thinking in the back of my mind that there's something else taking place that we just aren't seeing right now with this circus going on in front of it. I mean, I noticed that a lot of laws and bills are being passed that seem to infringe upon civil liberties and a lot of the things we take for granted in a democratic society. And this circus is out there and we're paying attention to the clowns in Washington. And I think there's more sinister things afoot that we really need to be aware about before it's too late. It is just a feeling I have that we're in for a bad ride.
Well, we'll see. All right. Guy, thanks a lot. Thanks for your thoughts.
All right.
All right, guy. 813-239-9663. You're listening to Radioactivity on WMNF in Tampa, and it's 5 minutes before 12 noon. Somebody from the 813 area code sends this in anonymously. Their statement is, typical Trump keeps bitching about business disputes. I'm tired of his victimhood, writes Anonymous. And then Yode writes this, while making a joke of the office and without the humility nor the sense to understand how his own actions make him look, the president retweets data of his opponents that has been edited to make them look bad. The president requires no editing. Writes Yode. And Sue writes, what corruption has Donald Trump exposed? Can't think of a single instance. The last thing that President Trump said in that statement that we aired by him was that he had exposed corruption in Washington. But I think, Sue, that's a good point. I don't know what kind of corruption he's exposed. And let's go back to the phones. We're going to go to John in St. Pete. John, thank you for calling in. What would you like to say?
Hey, Rob, I just got a question maybe somebody knows. Has the Department of Justice policy always been that you can't indict a president, or is it just his Justice Department?
It goes back to the 70s. I think there were two decisions, one in the 70s and then one about 10 years ago. And I'd have to look that up. It's easy to find, but no, it's not just the Trump DOJ.
So it's kind of like for both sides, a get-out-of-jail-free card.
It looks like that, yep.
Wow, that's amazing. And there's one other thing I wanted to bring up. I was reading a biography on Putin online, and it was talking about his philosophy. He was always a little kid, and he was getting picked on, so he took up judo. And he really excelled at judo and got all kinds of awards and everything. And his philosophy has become to use your weight against you to, because, you know, if you don't have the power, because they don't have the power that we have, that they're smaller, not being Soviet Union anymore. And so that was one thing I picked up. I think when he's negotiating or talking to Putin, Putin has really got his number.
Yeah, you're probably right. The power of our vigorous democracy, where we're all talking about issues over here, and it snowballs into something. So if you were to put out misinformation, and if it were to catch on, let's say the Russians put out misinformation, and we know they did, and it catches on, it really does light a fire over here. Whereas Absolutely. In Russia, the media isn't, you don't have access to as much media as we do here in the U.S. All right, John, thanks a lot.
Thank you.
Thank Bye-bye. You. And we're going to go to Cork in Sarasota. Cork, thanks for calling. What would you like to say?
Oh, yeah. Thank you, Rob. Yeah, talking about hacking, or at least wondering if there's hacking into some of the voting systems. And when I hear the word hacking, I think of the internet. And I think of what are we doing with this internet, in that everything flows through the internet, things that like power grid control and voting and all sorts of other things. Nobody's really questioning the internet. And what are we doing with this thing? It's just allowing us to be very vulnerable.
It is, but I don't think you can put that rabbit back in the hat.
No, I guess it needs to be a discussion, though, of just I wrote letters to our two senators and my representative about a year ago or something about the grid system and possible hacking into that, which some people say is already kind of getting pretty close. I never heard a thing from them, not even a boilerplate return letter or anything. It's like they're not, I don't know who's thinking about these things.
Yeah,
at all.
Ted Koppel wrote a book about it a few years ago, and on this radio station on Monday, the Ralph Nader Radio Hour, we carried one of his shows Monday at noon this past Monday, and Ralph was talking about it too, hacking into our electric grid. Cork, thanks a lot.
Oh, okay. Well, thank you, Rob.
Thanks. Good to hear from you. And let's go to Josh in Tampa. Josh, you're on. What would you like to say?
Hi, Rob. How are you doing today?
I'm good. Josh, we just have 30 seconds. What's up?
So I think the real question today from this whole press conference that comes up is this tweet a Freudian slip, or is it, you know, is it really insight into some wrongdoing, or is this actually just a slip-up like a cafefe sort of thing?
But what do you think?
I don't know. He said Russia has disappeared because I had nothing to do with Russia helping me to get elected.
Yeah.
And so whether he knew what he was saying or didn't know what he was saying. I think that's the real question, and I don't know if we'll ever really know.
Okay. For now. All right, Josh, thanks a lot. Yeah, the quote from the president this morning, the early morning tweet is, "I had nothing to do with Russia helping me to get elected." All right, that was the president tweeting this morning. And then later on, when he spoke with the reporters, he pulled that back. Well, if you want to comment about today's show, you can call us up at 813-238-8001. Record your comment on extension 115. We'll play your comments back tomorrow at 11 o'clock right here on WMNF in Tampa. The Surly Feminists are up next on the Midpoint program. I'm Rob Lori. Thanks to Bill Grace, our phone producer today. We're going to get the latest news from National Public Radio in just a moment. Keep your dial tuned to 88.5 FM all day long. This is WMNF, Tampa, St. Petersburg, Sarasota. Here's the latest news from NPR.